From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Later on the program today, we're back on the Illinois State Fairgrounds for a conversation about the art of auctioneering. Plus, we'll hear sounds from the annual contest among auctioneers and preview an auction of unclaimed property that people abandon in safety deposit boxes. But first, it's been 30 years since the last nationwide rail shutdown. But with more than 100,000 U.S. freight rail workers mobilizing, the possibility of another strike is on the horizon. Those workers have been working without a contract since negotiations between the 12 rail unions and all of the major rail companies began in January of 2020. Even amid the pandemic and supply chain disruptions that have shaped the last 3 years and increased burdens on workers in the rail industry, wages have not been adjusted for inflation, among other things. In July, President Joe Biden stepped in to appoint a third party, the Presidential Emergency Board, to examine the dispute and provide non-binding recommendations. Those recommendations were released yesterday, August 16th. Here to talk about what's motivating the unions, stalling the negotiations, and framing this labor fight, and maybe the path forward, is Dr. Jeff Shirky, a labor historian and visiting lecturer in the University of Illinois Chicago's History Department. His recent article, 115,000 railroad workers are weighing a national strike, appeared in Jacobin magazine earlier this month. Jeff, welcome to the 21st Show. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Ryan. Thanks for having me.
Listeners, if you want to join our conversation, the number to call is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Or you can tweet us at 21st Show, at 21st Show. I guess this is as good a time as any to disclose my father, who is no longer with us, but he was a career and lifetime railroad man and a union man himself. He started in freight, later went to work on commuter trains. But there you have it. That does probably inform my perspective on this issue somewhat. So, Jeff, let me just start with you to provide some context for our listeners. Broadly speaking, and we can get into more detail later, but what conditions are motivating this potential strike?
Over the last several years, you could go all the way back to 1980 when the railroads were deregulated. But in more recent years, the railroad companies, railroad carriers, have been implementing something called PSR, precision scheduled railroading, which is basically a lot of cost cutting, trying to cut operating costs to keep profits up. And this has meant in the last 6 years, for example, 29% of the collective workforce of the major Class One railroads has disappeared. 45,000 workers on the freight railroads are no longer there. So that puts a whole lot of extra strain on the workers who are still there. And as I'm sure you know from your father, that this is an industry where the workers are on call basically 7 days a week, 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. So it's already they've already had a lot of long hours, grueling conditions. And now with the workforce reduced by 29% in just the last 6 years because of all this cost cutting, as well as the cost cutting has also led to facilities being closed and less money put into infrastructure and maintenance. It's just a lot of extra strain. So there were already, before the pandemic, many workers in the rail industry opting to leave, even though traditionally it's been considered a very good paying job with good retirement benefits. A lot of workers now are saying that it's not even worth waiting to get those retirement benefits. They'd rather just leave now and go to another industry. And then when you factor in the pandemic and lots of people getting sick and not being able to come to work, just a whole lot of, and also a lot more people ordering things online and a lot more strain on logistics in general.
Yeah. So it's interesting. I saw a recruiting video for, I can't remember which railroad, so I'm not going to say which one. This was just within the last year or so. I thought it was interesting that they really kind of put a fine point, and they seem to be almost trying to dissuade people who weren't sort of awake to what these conditions could be like. It was a video of a guy, sort of like an infomercial almost, where the guy's laying in bed and sleeping, and his phone rings at 2 a.m. and he's like, all right, I'll be there. I'll be there in an hour. And he goes downstairs with his rolling suitcase, and he sees like a happy birthday set up in his kitchen. He's like, yeah, I'm going to miss my son's birthday. And you do miss a lot of holidays and stuff. They really seem to be trying to emphasize like, yeah, this is a tough job and it has some tough conditions. What do workers say, though, is different than like what, you know, maybe the normal expectations would be versus what they're experiencing day to day now?
Mainly that it's just even worse than that, that they do expect to be on call all the time. But there used to be more procedures where there would be at least some measure of predictability, you know, where if you would at least have a sense of what your schedule was going to be. And now that's out the window, and it really is, at any time, you can be working. There's also, as the workforce shrinks, there's more strain put on the workers who are still there, more and more really strict attendance policy, a lack of paid leave, a lack of paid sick leave, paid holidays. Railroad workers don't have weekends. Really, they're not expected to have weekends off. So it's basically all the same strain that there's always been, but just it's getting more and more compounded all the time as there's just fewer and fewer workers around, and still the freight has to keep moving. And so that's kind of the big difference. And then like with the lack of paid sick leave in the middle of a pandemic, you know, that's obviously going to put a lot of strain on people.
So let's talk a little bit more about this idea of precision scheduled railroading. It sounds like this just-in-time kind of lean production thing you hear about in business, right? Can you talk more about how that works in practice?
So it's about the thing you want to get is operating ratio, which is like the expenses as a percentage of revenue. And from what I've heard from talking to railroad workers, that there's really no clear standard on what precision schedule railroading or PSR is. Like the different railroads have their own idea. One worker told me that it's really more of a marketing thing than an actual logistics thing. It's about what the railroad workers say and the unions that represent them say is that this is really PSR. Is about pleasing Wall Street investors and stockholders, just slashing costs so that their profits go up. And they have been going up in the last 10 years. There's been about $180 billion in stock buybacks and dividends for the railroad companies, $180 billion. But at the same time, the railroads have spent only $150 billion on maintaining infrastructure. So what the workers at least have been telling me is that PSR is really just kind of a Wall Street kind of gimmick to put money in the pockets of the shareholders while with no real clear standards of what it means or how to regulate it. Because again, the railroads have been largely deregulated in the last 40 years.
All right, let me take a moment to reintroduce our conversation. If you're just joining us, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Jeff Shirky, who's a labor historian, visiting lecturer at the University of Illinois, Chicago. Recently had an article, 115,000 railroad workers are weighing a national strike. That was in Jacobin Magazine. There was a big rally in Galesburg within the last month or so, and we'll talk about that a little later. If you want to join our conversation, the number to call is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455, or you can tweet us at 21st Show, at 21ST Show. So we're talking about the possibility of a strike, and maybe can you help us understand what would a railroad workers' strike, how would that affect our economy, maybe even military defense capabilities? What would that actually look like for everyday people who don't work for the railroads?
Yeah, well, I guess, as a historian, I want to go back to some of the most tumultuous strikes in U.S. history were on the railroads back in the late 1800s. And these weren't strikes like we think about today of, people just sort of picketing and holding signs. These were like massive rebellions, you know, with the National Guard being brought in, the army being brought in to put down these strikes, lots of property damage, people getting killed. You know, these were big violent conflicts and going back to the 1870s, 1880s, 1890s. You know, these are very famous labor conflicts. And coming out of that, the federal government, you know, realized we can't let this happen because it was completely shutting down, bringing the whole economy to a screeching halt when the freight, when the goods are not moving, you know, across the country. So in 1926, Congress passed the Railway Labor Act, which is still in effect and is still governing the negotiations that are happening right now between the rail unions and the rail carriers. And the whole point of the Railway Labor Act is to try to prevent strike from happening by having multiple steps of first direct negotiations and then mediation. And now what's recently happened, you know, as you mentioned, President Biden stepping in and appointing a panel, the Presidential Emergency Board, to investigate and make recommendations. And in between all of this, these periods that they call cooling off periods, 30 days, where both sides just sort of go back to the table. And the idea here is, again, to prevent any kind of strike from happening. So because of that, in the last, you know, several decades, there have been very, very few, if any, railroad strikes, at least at a national level, because the law is kind of made, is written and implemented to make sure they don't happen. And we can talk more about what will happen next now that the Presidential Emergency Board has made its decision, but strike would likely, and I would imagine, only last a few hours before Congress could step in and intervene and put a stop to it through any number of ways, including just sort of issuing a, you know, binding order of binding arbitration or imposing the recommendations that President Biden's emergency board just put out. However, the workers could continue to, you know, could strike anyway, you know, in contravention of the law, as sort of
right,
an
or work to, I think another expression I've heard is work to rule, right? Where they're going to follow right. every rule to the letter of the law, if that means, you know, slowing everything down and doing
right.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Well, what are the unions seeking in contract negotiations?
So they're seeking, so, you know, this is another thing. There's like 12 different, unions representing the different crafts in the rail industry, and they're all united right now, at least at the bargaining table. Of course, they want raises that are going to be at least at or above inflation, right? They haven't seen a raise in about 3 years. You know, as you mentioned, they've been negotiating since January of 2020. So raises that meet inflation, healthcare costs, they want to bring down the costs that employees have to pay. But what's really most important, I think, is to the workers and to the unions is dealing with the big problems that have been caused by PSR, wanting more workers to be hired and to have less stressful workloads, be able to have more paid time off, more paid, to actually have paid sick, to have a few more. You know, one of the things they were seeking were three more paid holidays, making Martin Luther King Day, Juneteenth, and Veterans Day paid holidays. And Veterans Day in particular, because a lot of the railroad workers are veterans, they're actively recruited out of the service to go work for the railroad. So those kinds of issues, as well as a major kind of part of this whole fight has to do with the staffing on the locomotive freight trains, having the railroad carriers want to have only one worker, just an engineer operating a freight train, whereas traditionally it's been at least two workers. And the unions say that if you bring it down to only one, that creates a lot of safety concerns when you only have one person operating these massive trains that can be, you know, 2-3 miles long. So wanting to make sure that it remains two workers operating the train.
All right. I do want to mention at this point in the show for some insight into what the major Class 1 rail carriers want. We did reach out to them. Union Pacific at least responded with a brief statement that said, Union Pacific appreciates the Presidential Emergency Board's time, collective effort, and recommendations. We believe it is in the best interest of all stakeholders for the parties to reach agreements that provide our employees with well-deserved pay increases and prevent rail service disruptions. End quote. That seems to be aligned with what the workers want, but you know, we'll talk about why that may not be the case, and we'll also talk about a big rally that happened in Galesburg, Illinois. We need to take a break. We are speaking about a potential strike could be coming in a month of railroad workers across the country. We're talking about that with Dr. Jeff Shirky, a labor historian and lecturer in the University of Illinois Chicago's History Department. This conversation will continue after a break. If you want to join us, the number to call is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455, or you can tweet us at 21st Show. More to come. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us. This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking with Jeff Shirky, who is a historian in the Department of History at the University of Illinois Chicago. Recently wrote an article, attended a rally in Galesburg, and wrote an article for Jacobin magazine called 115,000 Railroad Workers Are Weighing a National Strike. We're talking about the possibility of that strike. As we've been saying, the workers want higher wages, more holidays, better benefits, as well as changes to what the railroads call precision scheduled railroading, which basically means they're on call all the time and working a lot, no guaranteed holidays, really difficult to take sick leave. We're talking about what the workers are asking for in this strike, as well as the reactions of the railroads. Let's talk about that rally in Galesburg. What was it like? Why was that site selected in particular?
Yeah, that was so the rail unions have been holding a handful of rallies. They did one in Lincoln, Nebraska a couple months ago. I think they're going to be doing another one in Toledo, Ohio pretty soon. But yeah, that one in Galesburg, Illinois, Western Illinois, July 30th was really great. A lot of energy from at least 200-300 railroad workers and their families. So many of them local, they're from Galesburg, surrounding area. Others from as far away as Washington, D.C. and Baltimore traveled all the way out for that. Galesburg was selected because it is historically has been and still today is a railroad town. The main employer, number one employer in Galesburg, is the BNSF Railway, which is the largest rail carrier in the country, one of the largest rail carriers in the world, owned by Warren Buffett, one of the richest people in the world. That is the main employer in town. Ever since the mid-1800s, Galesburg has been kind of a central hub of a lot of the Midwestern railroads. So that's why it was selected. It's also interesting, a lot of the history of Galesburg. Again, as a historian, I'm just kind of interested in these things that people like Abraham Lincoln, before he was president, Frederick Douglass, the famous abolitionist, Horace Greeley, another famous abolitionist, among others, traveled through Galesburg on the railroads to denounce slavery in the years leading up to the Civil War. There were some of the major railroad unions that still exist today were founded or first existed in places like Galesburg. And Carl Sandburg, the famous poet and historian, journalist, was born in Galesburg, and his father was an immigrant railroad worker. So it was a kind of a perfect location to hold it. And like I said, a lot of the rail workers brought their families because this affects their families as much as them. mayor was there among other local leaders.
Interesting. So, all right. So let's turn now in the time we have remaining to this presidential emergency board. As I mentioned at the top of the show, this is something that President Joe Biden appointed this board. This is part of the steps you were describing earlier that have been enacted in American law to aim to prevent railroad strikes. This board has met. They've considered things. Then they released recommendations just yesterday, August 16th. And from the National Carriers Conference Committee, which represents the major U.S. rail carriers, I'll quote here, the PEBs, the Presidential Emergency Board's recommendations would increase wages by 24% during the five-year period from 2020 through 2024, with a 14.1% wage increase effective immediately. The recommendations also include five annual $1,000 lump sum payments, adjustments to health care premiums, and limited changes to work rules. A portion of the wage increases and lump sum payments would be retroactive, resulting in more than $11,000 on average in immediate payouts to employees, end quote. What do you understand? What are you hearing from people on the union side about the recommendations of this presidential emergency board?
Well, so far, I haven't seen anything official from any union leaders. You know, I'm not sure if maybe just this morning they may have put out some statements, but I haven't yet seen anything official from the union leadership. But I have heard a lot and seen a lot from rank-and-file railroad workers, the union members, and overwhelmingly they are outraged by the PEB's recommendations. They note that, yes, there's this seemingly very generous wage increase, but they say that it doesn't actually keep up with their projections of what inflation is going to be, so that it actually amounts in terms of real wages, amounts to a pay cut, or at the very least, status quo. And they also, when it comes to wages, talk about how, their productivity has been way, way up. The actual PEB report, the Presidential Emergency Board report, says that in the last 40 years, productivity has gone up 600%. And they also point to the record-breaking profits that I mentioned earlier that the rail carriers are making right now, billions and billions of dollars. So they're not that impressed with the wage increase. But more importantly are some of the other things. With healthcare, traditionally there's been a cap on the actual amount of the actual dollar amount that the workers pay for healthcare coverage. And the PEB recommendation wants to put an end to that cap, and instead have them pay a percentage, 15% of the healthcare costs. So that would actually mean, in real terms, increased healthcare costs. And then, as I mentioned before, the biggest issue for the workers is their workloads, lack of sick leave, lack of or wanting more paid holidays. And all of that has basically been rejected by the PEB's recommendations. I mentioned they wanted Martin Luther King Day, Juneteenth, and Veterans Day to be paid holidays. The PEB rejected that idea. They wanted 15 paid sick leave days. The PEB rejected that idea as well. And then on some of these big issues related to PSR, precision scheduled railroading, and just the overall state of railroads, the number of workers on trains and all of that, the PEB kind of punted on that. So they sort of said, well, let that be negotiated between individual unions and individual rail carriers at the local level, and we're not going to weigh in on that. So maybe on the surface, some of what the PEB has done, especially around wages, looks really good, but the workers are saying, we've been waiting for a new contract for almost 3 years. We've been working through this pandemic. Our working conditions are deteriorating, especially, again, since 29% of the workforce has disappeared in the last 6 years, putting so much more strain on them. And these PEB recommendations look like basically maintaining the status quo or worse. They want some real dramatic change. They don't see this as just another run-of-the-mill kind of negotiation. They want something significant to happen, and they don't think PEB recommendations are very significant or very significantly helpful.
So we only have about a minute left. So briefly, what happens next? There's about a month, I understand, before a strike can actually happen. You mentioned Congress could step in. What are you watching for in the weeks ahead?
Yeah, so right now, according to the law, there's a 30-day cooling off period now that the recommendations have come out. So really nothing significant is going to happen exactly until another 30 days from now. But in between then, some of the union, there's 12 different unions. They all have different structures and policies. Some of them, the rank and file members can vote on whether they want to accept these recommendations. Others, the rank and file can't vote. Instead, it's just the leadership makes these decisions. So I'll be looking to see that, whether the unions want to accept or reject the PEB's recommendations, whether they're voting to have a strike or not. And then 30 days from now, or I guess 29 days from now, either the unions or the rail carriers could enter into what law calls self-help, which is either going on strike or for the rail carriers a lockout. But yes, Congress could intervene immediately if a strike begins within a matter of hours. Congress could step in and put a stop to it, or Congress could even preemptively, if it looks like a strike is going to happen, try to put a stop to it and just impose the BEB's recommendations or implement another 30-day cooling off period or do any number of other things.
Sure.
To try to prevent a strike.
All right. Well, we will be keeping an eye on this situation. Jeff Shirky, thank you so much for being with us and talking about this possibility of a national railroad strike.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Jeff Shirky is visiting lecturer and labor historian in the Department of History at the University of Illinois, Chicago. We'll have a link to his article on the rally in Galesburg at our website, 21stshow.org.